Oh, yes, it's an all-love rejoiner here on the Computer Corner. I love what's going on here with the Intel and AMD discussion. You're being kind of quiet over there, Adam. you laptop users, if you are confused just as well as the rest of the folks out there when it comes to buying a laptop, you may see the Centrino label on lots of laptops and wonder what does it mean and how come they're so much slower than regular non-Centrino laptops. And of course, in our efforts to educate the world, that's this week's discussion. Somebody asked, what's Centrino mean? What does it mean to me when I'm buying a laptop? Well, that's this week's column, so check that out in the Tribune paper tomorrow morning. Excuse me, Monday morning, and also through our newsletter subscription service and on our website.
Computerproblems.com.
Why don't you tell them about our free newsletter?
Our free newsletter sends out information each week. We usually throw in a tip or a trick, something new happening in the news, any kind of viruses, recalls on any computer items, and then we have your column, our Geek Speak of the Week, and the rest of our radio information.
It's fantastical, and it has no ads. There's no spam. It's a double opt-in. You have to absolutely convince us that you want the newsletter, and once you do, you get it every week. Unfortunately, some large ISPs will, when they see mass mailed items, their spam filters are pretty unsophisticated, and they just automatically filter out. So, if you signed up and you're not getting it, you may want to check with your ISP.
Mm-hmm.
Especially if you've signed up multiple times and it says you're already registered, that means we are sending it to you. Some reason it's not getting to you, most likely. Check with your ISP.
Or if you have a spam filter on your computer, you might want to see if it's catching that.
All right, you want to hit the Geek Speak of the Week real quick?
Yes. Where's your...
Hang on. Here we go. No. Hang on.
That is not what we're looking for today. No.
No.
No. You want me just to make the Geek Speak?
There we go.
Okay.
This week's Geek Speak of the Week.
This week's Geek Speak of the Week is chip graffiti. And there is still sound going.
It's Jeopardy music.
Okay. Artwork, initials, or some other non-functional design etched into the upper metallic layers of a silicon chip. Basically, back in the day, it's kind of not happening as much anymore because chips are so mass-produced. Back in the day, they'd make the prototype, and then the person who designed it would make a little art, put his initials or something, and then the prototype is now being reproduced. Well, now, with such mass reproduction, you don't see those. So if you have an older computer and you're going to give it away or something,
Start ripping it open,
see if you got a rare piece of art.
Yeah, look on eBay to see if you find anything with chip graffiti on it.
A Picasso.
And we're going to skip our free download of the week this week.
Yeah,
I didn't get a chance to look at it. I'm not really sure that people need to monitor their motherboards.
This is especially for people who are really geeky and just want something to mess around with. If you do not really understand it by reading it, I suggest strongly you do not download it.
Yeah,
because it is for a true geek who knows what he's doing.
Yeah, if you're interested, you know, if you're just curious, you want to see that stuff, then great. But you'll probably end up uninstalling it right afterwards.
Mm-hmm.
Hey, Walt!
Yeah.
Walt and Tempe here to bolster the AMD argument.
Well, I don't know. I'm muddy in the water or not, but, you know, you talked about the G5, which is a 64-bit chip.
Yes.
And I have one secondhand data point on the Athlon 64. Guy in town has a kind of a major engineering kind of program for filter design. And he upgraded his computer from 1900 XP to a 64.
Now, these are both AMD chips.
Both AMD.
Okay.
And he said he compiled his nastiest compile.
Yes.
And it compiled five times faster on the new board.
That would make sense since the pathway inside the chip itself on these 64-bit AMD processors is double.
You
know, instead of 32, it's 64-bit. Mm-hmm. So that the actual kind of base components are able to get through there much faster.
That's true. But, you know, he ran the old 32-bit software, and it's still got that kind of...
Yeah, but you know what?
I think if they had 64-bit software, it would even be better.
Yeah, there will be newer applications that will take advantage of that. But you know what? Even with the fact that it's a 64-bit processor, it does not equate to faster performance under all circumstances.
Oh, no. Yeah. No, not true. This is just a compile, which is hardly using any of the...
In fact, could
have ran it on an 8086 or something.
I was shocked how poorly they performed in video benchmarks. Tom's Hardware, and it's one of the links that we have up there. Tom's Hardware did some very extensive benchmarks, and AMD came out on top on the gaming and the stuff that you'd expect.
Yeah.
But they were just
It's all that highfalutin stuff that they keep adding to these things each time they have a new chip. And they add a bunch of new instructions, and
you got to wait for the software people.
They're different on Intel than they are on AMD, and it depends on what the compilers can recognize.
Exactly. It's all too technical.
That's right.
I still don't get why AMD fared so poorly in video when they do so well in gaming. What's the difference there?
It has to do with the actual architecture. The HT processors, they've actually reduced the number of steps that it takes to get stuff through. So, you know, again, you can't just focus on any one. And, Walt, we thank you for your call. We can't just focus in on any one thing. And in my column about Centrino, I explained that people that buy computers based on the megahertz, when they figure out that they made a mistake, it's going to megahertz, right? Because it's like buying a car based on, it's like shopping, and the first thing you do is you pop the door open, you sit down, you look at the tachometer and see how far it goes. Ooh, this tach goes to 10,000 RPM!
Yeah.
This is a better car!
And then you drive it off the lot and the engine falls out.
Yeah.
And is a four-cylinder engine half what an eight-cylinder engine is?
Exactly.
No, I mean, I'd take a Porsche over a Mustang any day.
Yeah, definitely.
You know? So you can't focus in on any one piece of technology and expect that to be your guiding light when you're buying a computer. I think that's a very common misconception. So that's why it gets so difficult to navigate this stuff is now we have, for instance, my guidance for most people when it comes to Intel is if you're on the low end, you want an entry-level system, you want something real basic, you're going to be looking at what's called a Celeron processor.
Mm-hmm.
The Pentium 4s are kind of the mainstream processors, and then if you really want to do like video, that type of thing, you want to look for like a Pentium 4 HT, and then they get crazy from there to the corporate chips. But it's really those three. It's that where you at in the process.
Yeah.
80% of the people are going to buy the Pentium 4 without HT. Another 10% will probably buy the HT processor, and that's probably going to increase just as time goes on.
Mm-hmm.
And then the entry-level people, Celeron's perfect. There's no reason to spend more money.
Yeah, I agree.
Now, if you have the money, it can't hurt to have a better chef. So it's not a thing of don't spend the money. If you've got it, it's gonna make a difference, especially as you develop or use the computer. So if the Pentium 4 is within the reach of your budget, I definitely recommend you go from the Celeron to the Pentium 4. If it's not, you're really trying to save money, then there's nothing wrong with that.
There's no sense to do it.
Mm-hmm. All right. Where does that put us? 50. Uh-oh. We got a minute. John, actually, let's see if we can sneak him in real quick. John.
Yes. How are you gentlemen today and ladies?
Good. You want to give us a 30-second synopsis on why you prefer AMD?
Well, I didn't say I preferred AMD. What I'm saying is you guys agree that the general public needs Intel and they do not need the AMD. It's the other way around. General public, all they do is send email, use AOL, and browse the web. Why would they need a Pentium 4 for that when an AMD can do it just fine?
The problem is not with the processor. It's the compatibility of the motherboard and all the other issues that come into play. Being on the service end of the business, we service these computers.
I'm on the service end as well. I work for a major nationwide service company.
Yeah, well, in the 15 years that we've been doing this, the difference in the number of AMD machines versus the kind of motherboard issues and power supply issues, it doesn't even compare. The AMDs definitely have more trouble with that in our experience.
Not my experience. The Geek Squad rules, by the way.
Oh, really? Well, what radio show are they on? This is the Data Doctor's Computer Corner. We'll be back after this with hour number two with your calls.